Tonight we're going to finish our study on the subject of the fruit of the Spirit is meekness. And the first week we dealt with the meaning of meekness, biblically, what it is. And ultimately it's a resignation, a submission to God's will in every circumstance, in dealing with everything around us and people. And then last week we looked at some of the methods whereby we can cultivate and maintain this attitude of meekness in our lives. Tonight I want to deal with the magnitude of meekness. What do I mean by that? The magnitude and importance of the graces of meekness is manifested by the frequency that this grace is insisted upon and urged by the writers of Scripture. You'll find it all the way through the Word of God. As you read the Scriptures, it's plain to see that the fruit of meekness is a commendable trait that God places an extremely high value upon. Colossians 3:12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. You want to prove that you're really chosen of God, that you're loved with an everlasting love, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. You see, this fruit ought to characterize the elect. A spirit of meekness is considered by God to be highly valued, especially in relationship to the home and the way that a woman ministers to her husband. It says in 1 Peter 3:4, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Think about that. People don't place value on meekness in the day and age in which we live. It's rarely talked about. It's rarely exemplified. But God puts a high value. It's of great price to have a quiet and a meek spirit. So if meekness is of great price in the sight of God, then it's a trait that should be earnestly longed for in our lives. Again, I asked you last week, when was the last time you went to the Lord and asked Him to develop more of this spirit and attitude of meekness in your life, this fruit? George Bethune said this, how serious and devout should be our endeavors to understand and possess a grace to which the Holy Ghost so often exhorts, which is so essential a badge of Christ's true followers, which is so necessary to the growth in Christian knowledge, and which gives on earth so rich a foretaste of heaven, and adorns the soul with a loveliness God delights to look upon and so bless. What a powerful, powerful use of words by George Bethune. He's describing this grace as something that's lovely, beautiful in the sight of God. Secondly, the magnitude of meekness is indispensable in our profession of faith as Christians. See, what we're saying when we make a profession of faith, when we say that we've been washed in the blood, that we've been born again, that the Spirit of God has given us new life in Jesus Christ, We are ambassadors. We are representatives of Jesus Christ. And we've been sent out into the world on a mission of mercy and grace. And when we say that we are His ambassadors, that we are His representatives, we are identifying ourselves with the Savior's character and His temperament. Christian, we're to be like Christ. What was found in Christ, our Lord, when He walked upon earth? And whatever that was ought to be evident in those who profess to be His followers. 1 John 4 and verse 17, because as He is, so are we in the world, in this world. If we're truly to be more like Christ, we have to learn and understand the importance that He placed on this cultivation of meekness, learning more of Jesus. We sing that song, "More About Jesus, What I Know." Here's what Jesus said. "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls." Are you in God's school of grace? Are you learning more of Jesus? According to Jesus, conformity to His image in the process of sanctification includes an education and practice of the grace of meekness. To maintain an attitude of meekness and humility in the face of difficulty and opposition and persecution means that the Spirit of God is truly conforming us to the image and the likeness of the One we profess to follow and love. Thirdly, the magnitude and importance of the fruit of meekness is seen as an essential quality that must be found in those that are called to preach and to pastor the Lord's churches. 1 Timothy 6:11 says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." If the call to the sacred ministry requires the grace and display of meekness, then it must be a pretty important quality. If those who are called to preach, teach, lead, and feed God's people are to be meek, to do so in meekness, then it must be an important quality. In order to have an effective ministry among God's people, pastors must not be stubborn, proud, self-willed, dictatorial, or indignant, or arrogant, or prideful. All of those are antonyms, completely the opposite of what it means to have meekness in the ministry. Rather, the virtue of meekness should permeate every facet of the ministry, enabling them to effectively edify the saints of God by not only what they teach and preach, but also by the way in which they live, the example that they set. And if the Lord's churches are to flourish, then the man of God who is called to lead and feed the flock must be marked by humility and meekness. The pastor himself must maintain a spirit and example of meekness if he hopes to see this grace in those that he ministers unto. Paul told Titus in chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men." As I've stated many times as your pastor, this is something I need a lot of. Pray for me that God would make me a better example of what it means to lead, being completely resigned and in submission to God's will, His purpose, no matter what the circumstances. And to do so with an attitude of humility, of grace, of kindness, of compassion. Not to be a brawler. Rather be gentle. Number 4. The magnitude and importance of meekness is manifested as an essential part of our Christian witness in the world. By the way, note one more word on pastors. There are a lot of pastors that just got a mean spirit about them. And it needs to be repented of. The arrogance, the pride, feeling that they're above other people. Now those are things I honestly, before God, with God as my witness, I don't feel like I'm better than anyone else. I know the rock out of which I've been hewn. I know my sinful past, and God uses that to make me, bring me humbled down. I don't think we should have a spirit of arrogance and lord it over the people that we minister unto. But some pastors are not good at that. They have a bad attitude. If somebody disagrees with them in the least, they get crossways, sideways, they get mean. And I don't believe God's going to use people like that. But Christians are called upon to witness. Now think about who we're to witness and minister unto. People that are disagreeable, that are carnal, that are stubborn, that are proud, disobedient. They're lost. They're blind. They think they're all right. If we're to commend our Lord to a lost and dying world, we have to have an abundance of the grace of meekness operating within us as we deal with those who oppose themselves. Think about the people that you witness to. They hate themselves. They don't recognize it, but they won't respond to the truth. They'd rather stay in their sins, stay in their darkness, stay in their ungodliness. They're opposing their own self-interest. These are the people that you're dealing with. They hate the truth. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2, verse 24 and 25, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth." You know, parents, we could use that in the rearing of our children as well. Because there's a lot of times your kids do things that are opposing their best interest. And we need to learn how to deal with them. in order to preserve and recommend the grace of God to others, we need a lot of this fruit of meekness. Well, I read this today and it just convicted me. George Bethune had this comment about the martyrs. Please listen carefully. It was the unresisting and meek suffering of the early martyrs that made them conquerors over the rack, the flame, and the wild beasts of the theater. They had no other defense, no other weapon. They professed the religion of a meek and lowly Jesus, and it was to drive them from that religion that their enemies tortured them to death. If one of them had railed from his burning stake or cursed from his cross or gnashed his teeth and shaken his impotent fist at his tormentors, their victory would have been as complete as by his recantation. The nobleness of his courage would have been lost, and the sublimity of the scene destroyed. It was the meekness, more than the blood of the martyrs, which was the seed of the church. Well does the devil know that if he can distort the Christian's face with envy and anger and revenge, if he can pervert the Christian's tongue to revilings and stormy rebuke, if he can substitute for the meekness of the Lamb of God the venom of his own serpent malice, he has destroyed the attraction of Christianity, seduced his enemy to his own ground, and made the victory complete. Number five, the grace of meekness is absolutely essential to receive the truth of God and to grow in grace. So it's a virtue that is of great importance. You see, meekness is associated with an increase in spiritual joy. In Isaiah 29:19, the meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. Meekness is also associated with the cultivation and manifestation of spiritual wisdom. See, you want joy? Study to be meek. You want to have wisdom in your life? Listen to what James 3, verse 13 says. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Our knowledge of God, practice of wisdom, and joy in God are all closely related to the meek and humble reception of God's truth. With that in mind, we need to pray fervently that God will season our hearts and minds with this grace of meekness so that we may better receive, believe, and apply the truth of Scripture. Number six, you say, man, it's a 6-point sermon. 7 points. Now, if it was a deer, you'd be cheering me on. 7 points. Number six, the magnitude of meekness is seen as an essential ingredient to the peace, the harmony, the unity, the well-being of a New Testament church. Every member should be studying meekness Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There will be no unity or peace within a church that's made up of proud and self-willed people who are void of this grace of meekness. And 7, the magnitude of meekness is illustrated by the rewards that are said to be reserved for those who preserve and maintain this attitude of meekness. Psalms 37:11 says, "But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." If God is going to reward us with a place in the millennial kingdom, the 1,000-year reign of Christ upon the earth, if He's going to reward us for the manifestation of meekness, the meek shall inherit the earth, then it must be a very valued commodity, a quality that we need to practice more. May God help us to see the magnitude of meekness.